year. Time goes so fast, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Let's make it even closer to the soon appearing of Jesus. Amen. Before I go on with this message, please do two favors for me. Two favors for me. Please disconnect your phone with you. Put it off, because we are so used to of not engaging with the holiness and the presence of this sanctuary. Number two, Brother Jolan has just shared this earlier in his Sabbath school lesson, is that I want you to think as you listen. If there's more people would think, they would not do the things they do. They would not drink the things they drink. They would not eat the things they eat. They would not date the people they date if they stop and think. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for life. Thank you, dear God, for this moment. In your presence to listen to your words. Please, dear God, grant us your spirit. Open our eyes, open our understanding, that the word of God may be clear to us. Speak to me, O God, as I humble myself in your presence. Grant me humility, I pray. Let me speak with boldness, but with compassion, for I too a sinner in need of grace. Bless us, protect us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this sermon, it's not very pleasing to listen to, to even look at it, is that I hate you. But let us look at the principle of the Bible. Very easy to understand. Listen that word. 2 Timothy 3:16, it reads, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So with the title of this message, I hate you, there is a reason beyond this title. So as we allow the word of God to flow into our understanding, let's begin our study in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. And like I said earlier, it said, let us look at a principle of the Bible, very easy to understand. Verse 30 reads, he that is not with me is against me. That is, introduces to us in the principle of opposites. Jesus says, if you are not with me, finish it up. If you are not with me, finish it up. What that he says, you are against me. There is no middle ground with God. Now let's go to Proverbs 8:36. It says, our object is, I hate you. It's not a pleasant sound in subject, but it's reality. But it says, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. It says, all that they hate me love death. Me, meaning to say that's Jesus, in that verse refers to Christ. All they that hate me love death. Let's go back to Matthew 12:23. Here, we are, before reading this, we are examining the principles of opposites. Matthew 12:33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For tree is known by its fruit. And verse 35 reads, as good men out of good treasures, a lot of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. See here, brothers and sisters, we have one or the other. We have opposites in the Bible. You are either for God or against him. It says, now let's go to John chapter 15, Now let's go to John chapter 15, starting with verse 18. See, here again, I want to reemphasize this. Our subject is, I hate you. Or if that is too strong, I do not love you. Right? Here it goes. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated me, you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20 reads, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep you yours also. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. 23, he who hates me hates my father also. If I have not done, verse 24, if I have not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my father. Let's pause here and let us look at the passage again. We have come across the word hate in this passage many times, right? The passage, it says, my question is it possible to hate God? Let's look at 24 and 25 and I'll repeat. It says, and let's look at closely here. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my father. But this, verse 25 says, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in the law. They hated me. Can you finish that verse, that sentence? They hated me without a cause. Jesus said that when you hate me without a cause. How is it possible to hate Christ? How is it possible to hate God? The Bible says we hate him without a cause, but how do we hate God? Using the law of opposites, let's first find out how we love God. Are you following me? All right? Using the law of opposites, let's find out how we love God. Then we'll just turn it around and we will know how we hate God. Let's go to John 14. John 14 said, same book of John. By the way, if you want a book of the Bible to read and really be blessed, read the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, all written by the same man. John 14, 15, say it with me. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do we love God? Give me one word. How do we love God? Give me one word, four letters. Obey, we obey. Listen to Christ. Listen to Christ. Listen to the word of God, not me. Listen to the word of God. If you say you love me, show it. How? By obeying me. That's what Jesus said. Obedience is the expression of love to God. Now let's flip it and turn it around. How do we show hatred for God? Disobedience, regardless of what our lips say. That is why Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. My beloved brothers and sisters, listen carefully. He says, there is one way to show love for God, and that is obedience. It's the only way the Bible identifies as a proper expression of love, and that is obey. Turn that over. The only way to hate God is to disobey. Now listen again to verse 24 and 25. If I have not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now let's see if you are with me. Try to answer me correctly. How do we hate God? Disobedience. Now listen to verse 25. It says, they hated me without a cause. Which means there is never a good reason to disobey God. There is no good reason to disobey God, it says. It's always safe to assume that everyone didn't get it. It says, now let's listen to the Bible. They hated me, it says, but put another word for hate. They disobeyed me, not as an accident, but as a lifestyle, it says. They disobeyed me without a cause. But the Bible is saying, no one has a good reason to disobey God. No one. Now we always manufacture reasons. We human being, has always good reasons to have this understanding of making excuses. It says, I have three children. My husband left me, so I cannot return the tithe. You disobey God without a cause. Having three children and no husband is no reason to withhold your tithes. You are hating God without a cause. I have applied for work all over Silicon Valley, he says. All the jobs required to work on Sabbath. And you said, I have debt to pay back. I have to work on Sabbath. You are hating God without a cause. My brothers and sisters, if I appear to be a little bold, forgive me. I want you to get this. It must sink right down to the subconscious. There is no reason you can present to God to explain disobedience. None. Verse 25 says, they hated me. They disobeyed me without a cause. The Bible says disobedience has no justification. Let me give you a practical example of that. Go with me to John, next one, John 19, 5 and 6. We shall read verse 5, okay? It says, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. Verse 6, therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Our object is, I hate you. And that's what we say to God when we actively, deliberately disobey. I am not referring to accidental disobedience or disobedience out of ignorance. I meant willful disobedience. John 19, we just read. John 19, reading from verse 5, which we just read, it says, our object is, I hate you. Read verse 6 and finish it for me. It says, finish it. It says here, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Here, what is Pilate saying here? He said, I have no No reason to do what? To kill this man. The Jews wanted him killed without what? A reason. The Jews wanted Jesus to be killed without a reason. Pilate said he has no fault. Pilate said it three times between chapter 18 and verse 19. Three times he said, I find no fault in him. In other words, he does not deserve death. The Jew says, kill him. Is that love or hatred? Give me one word, that's hatred. Did they have a cause? No. The Bible says they hated me without a cause. Hatred for God is expressed in disobedience, because love is expressed in obedience. But here is the danger of hating God. Hatred for God leads to attempted murder of God. Oh, that's hatred for God leads to attempted murder of God. 1 John 3:14-15. I just said hatred of God leads to murder. If we could get our hands on God, someone who hates God must bring the ultimate expression by trying to kill God, because the Bible classifies hatred as, let's look at it. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, my question is this. Now, did Jesus take human flesh? Did Jesus take human flesh? Yes or no? Yes. By taking humanity, did he become our brother? Yes or no? Yes. When the Jews said, crucify him, they hated their brother. Right? Who also happened to be God. The Bible says, he that hates his brother is a murderer. The ultimate expression of hatred for God is an attempt to kill God. John 15:23. He who hates me hates my Father also. In other words, he that disobeys me disobeys my Father. If you hate Christ, and the Bible says by hating Christ, you hate God. It means you hate the Holy Spirit. It makes no difference to me how much noise you make on weekend to see, and you see you are in the Spirit. If you actively disobey God, you hate him. Notice I said actively, knowingly, deliberately. If you have the attitude, don't tell me just, I like the way I live. Most people say that. I like the way I live. I like the way I worship. Don't tell me anything else that may confront me with truth. Don't tell me. A lot of people live their Christian lives that way. Don't tell me. And so by deliberate disobedience, you express the hatred to God. When you hate Christ, you hate the Father. And if you hate the Father and Son, we must hate the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. I have another question for you, but don't answer me. That's you and God only. I'm almost going to say this. I'm almost feeling badly that I am preaching such a tough message, just even the title itself. But you can feel bad if you are preaching the truth. Question for you. Let me put it very nicely and even gentle. Do you love God? I almost asked the opposite. Do you love God? If you say yes, I want to know why you say yes. Let me ask the other side of that. Which one of us hates God? It's very quiet. Not a hand would go up. Not one. But if God were to say, how many of you obey me? How many hands would go up? My brothers and sisters, listen carefully. When we hate God, we do it. Amen. We do it without a cause. There is no good reason to hate God, meaning there is no good reason to disobey God. Now, if you turn that over, there is every reason to obey God. Can you say amen to that? I did not hear that. There is every reason to obey God. God said, but he gave us no reason to hate him. They hated me without a cause. Turn that over, they have every reason to love me. So what is God is saying with all the evidence, all the reasons to love me? They turned away and they hated me for no reason. I ask you again, do you love God? Not that do you love your church? Not you love fellowship with your friends on weekends. Do you love God? And if you say yes, you must show God how there is only one reason, there's only one way. Do what I say. God has given us life. That's one reason to love him. God has shown us mercy. That's another reason to love God. Psalms 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Meaning, if God gave us what we deserve, no one would be left alive on this earth. Do you understand that if God gave us what we deserve, no one would be left alive here in America or the world? That is the reason to love God. God who shows mercy and we disappoint him. He shows mercy and we discourage him. He shows mercy, then we hurt him. He shows mercy, mercy, mercy. Its act of mercy is a reason to love God. I didn't hear nothing. Each of Each act of mercy is a reason to love God. Amen? But most of the world hates God. It's no wonder the Bible speaks of the mystery of iniquity. How can someone ever construct a rationale for hating God? It makes no sense to God. Love for God is expressed in obedience. Hatred for God is disobedience. Disobedience to what? The law of God. You know why Jesus hated, you know why Jews hated Jesus? Because he never sinned. And his sinless life rebuked them. Let me say it again. The Jews hated Jesus for one reason. His sinless life was a rebuke to them. And they hated him. When people hate Christ, they hate him because of his life, the life expressed in his word, and the life of righteousness condensed and summarized in his law. Let me repeat it. He says, let me say it again. The Jews hated Jesus for one reason. His sinless life was a rebuke to them, and they hated him. When people hate Christ, they hate him because of his life expressed in his word, and the life of righteousness condensed and summarized in his law. Amen? What is the law of love? And then the hatred, and that hatred is extended to those who try. Listen, and then that hatred is extended in those who try to live the obedient life of Christ. We try to live the love of Christ. You know why Cain killed Abel? The Bible tells us why. Because Abel did what was right. That's the only reason the Bible gives. It says, 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked, one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteousness. It says, we have evil, righteous. Sin, righteousness, or obedience. Disobedient. Cain killed Abel for one reason, and Abel did what was right. In other words, Cain had no excuse to kill Abel, none. But he killed him. The Jews had no reason to kill Christ, but they have him killed using the Romans. Do you love God? My brothers and sisters, when we willfully disobey God's law, we are saying, I hate you. It makes no difference what else we may say to God. Hatred for God is the obedience to his law. And disobedience to his law is simply a life of sin. I'm not referring to a mistake. I'm not referring to those who, through ignorance of God, I am referring to those of us who know the truth and we don't want to hear the truth. And so the Bible speaks in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth is standing out of the out of water and in the water. As it says, as those that of those who are willfully ignorant, it says, God loves you and he has really no good reason. God loves you and he has really no good reason, cause to love us. Has no really. But the Bible says, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. You weren't good then. Anyone? He said, we were not good then. There's no argument. But he loves the world because that's the way he is. And so we have two opposites. God has no reason really to love us, and we have no reason to hate God. But God loves us, and he sent his son. Someone equal with himself to die for people who don't love him, hoping that by the expression of love, someone will come to love him. Because we are told, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first what? Love us. We love him because he first loved us. God is hoping that the expression of his love will awaken in us a response of love to him. God has no good reason based on us to love us. Let us say it again. No good reason, because Paul says in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Let me say that again. God has no good reason based on us to love us. None. And he loves us. We have no good reason to disobey God, and every reason to trust him and obey him, and we don't. What is God to do? You realize that there's nothing else God could do other than send his son. There was nothing else God could do. When God sent Jesus Christ, he exhausted all options, and all his options were one. Send my son. And if that did not work, that would have been it. Today, brothers and sisters, I sense among you gravity. What do you mean by gravity? It says, serious reflection. As you search your own heart and my heart, why do I go to church? Whom do I worship when I go to church? The devil is not angry if you go to church. The most effective instrument of Satan is go to church. The devil's best weapon are in church. What Satan does not want is obedient to God. Let me be more severe. I only have to be rebellious against God on one point. One point. James 2:10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. I have only got to be rebellious on one point to express my hatred for God. But through Jesus Christ, God has made a way for us to love him. He has made a way for us to obey him. The only biblically required expression of love, obey me. He has made that way. That way is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His victorious life, his voluntary death, his powerful resurrection, and his ongoing intercession in the heavenly court. Because of that, we can love God. It is impossible, really, or close to impossible, to look at Christ on the cross and not see love. But some people did. They passed by, they laughed at him, they spat at him, they made fun of him, come down of the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down, save us, save yourself. They made fun of Christ, they made fun of Christ on that cross. But it was the only way God had to awaken love in us, or to place love in us. Our title, I Hate You. By the time I close in a few minutes, it should change to I love you. Let me repeat it. Our title, I Hate You, by the time I close in a few minutes, it should change to I Love You. Amen. Oh, I think you guys are not engaging with the message. I have every reason, it says. Here are five reasons to love God. Here is five reasons to love God. That here is five more. If I had a machete, okay. If I have a machete and I came to you and said, which of your fingers would you like me to cut off? Which one would you recommend? None. If I said, which one of your 10 toes would you ever mind losing? None. How many senses do we have? Five. Which one would you mind losing now? Your sight, your hearing, your smell, touch, and taste. Which one? None. What am I saying? We are living monuments of reason to love God. You walk into this place, one foot ahead of the other, reason to love God. You can hear me, reason to love God. You are not in a mental institution. You can synthesize, analyze, assess, evaluate. What am I saying? Reason to love God. Your mind works. My mind works. Give me one reason to hate God. Give me one reason to disobey God. The answer is none. Closing verse. I would like to repeat our call to worship. Matthew 22:11-12. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Why? He was speechless because he had no reason. Did you get that? He had no reason. When we are going to be judged standing before God, why did you not make it? Why did he make it? Do we have any reason? None. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, it was a tough title to hear. Hate it from you. The word hate shows such a negativity. Another word, I don't like you. Those are such a strong word to come out from a human perspective in us. But we are speaking, you are speaking to us, Lord, the sincerity of the reason of hating you. It has no cause. There's no reason to hate you. But we have all the reason to love you because you displayed such a wonderful love for us that where we were yet sinners, you sent your son to die for us. Lord, help us to learn to love you, that as we can see this dying world will come to an end very soon, we can learn to love you because you are slow to anger, abiding in love. And not only that, oh God, that you are still giving us a chance to make righteous right with you. Father, yes, thank you so much that as we have learned this message of hatred only comes from the enemies because he hates you from the beginning. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail you in many ways. But may we uphold, O God, the blessings of love, which is the fundamentals of your law, the law of love. Thank you so much, Father, that as we go now to go our separate ways, may the words that was spoken will reside into our heart. Write them in our heart and put them in our mind. That when we stumble, we can see what Jesus has done for us and the cross. Thank you so much, Father. In your most precious name I pray. Amen.